Why don't we pray? We got a few minutes at least together. I'm glad the kids took a lot of time because I don't have a whole lot of message this morning. This is the message. Wait, there, the E-Bunny gave us the message. I thought that was pretty good, so praise God. I'm so excited this morning. I just, kind of just a funny thing. I said, the service is going to be supernatural because two Leaf fans came this morning. So there's, people have been teasing each other on, it's kind of a funny thing, but, you know, the Leafs haven't won for years, but they've been on the playoffs for a long time, so I'm just a fan, and I love hockey. I love good hockey, and it's a good diversion. You know, you can't be reading the Bible all day long. You could, but you have to have fun as well. Jesus wants to have fun, and I think Jesus would be a Leaf fan. So I'm sure he loves the Leafs just as much as he loves you and me. Yeah, the Canadians. I don't know about the Canadians. You know, when we were growing up, we just hated the Canadians. They beat up on the Leafs all the time. My friends would cry and cry because they would lose. But we got over it. So I thank God for fun in the world. We need to have just lots of pain and suffering in the world, and we got to have fun. So that's what we did Friday night. We had fun together, and it was wonderful to just join fellowship with different people. So any of you guys enjoyed that? Did some of you come? Some of you come? Praise God. Well, praise God. I'm glad you guys showed up. Glad my daughter showed up today. Praise God. Back from Toronto, from her recording studio. She's been recording music. She's getting on doing her album. And she's worked hard this year on stuff, so hopefully we'll get something out of that soon. So she actually has a good a place to stay, and she actually her apartment building, her condo, is right next door to the Air Canada Center, and right down the entertainment section. So when I go visit her, that's why I can go to two Leaf games at one week. I can afford to go and visit there, so it's nice for family. I know my wife's away right now on some assignments, and we thank God for her. And if you're watching, honey, we love you, and we miss you. And they said her and Hannah said they're going to last night a Catholic church to visit, and so they showed me pictures, and they had a great time visiting there because you have to take a. All these underground machines. What do you call these? Subways. Subways. You're talking to the Ojibwe guy here, man. years ago, you wouldn't have ever thought we could be talking on the phone or even seeing each other on the phone at this very same time. I mean, we were like 8, 9 years old. We were watching the Jetsons, and they were doing that. How many of you remember the Jetsons? Let me see your hand. See, there's a few people here. Isn't that crazy, though? Yeah, Jetsons, they were doing that. They're talking to each other on the screen, and also Spock and those guys. Yeah. And we thought, this is phenomenal. No, we could do that. And it's like you never miss someone. You can see them, love them, and that's why it's easier to talk to somebody overseas and so on. But, it's nice being away, but it's also better to come home. Sleep in your own bed and, don't worry about bed bugs and stuff like that. So, oh, man. Praise God. I heard the boys did a great job last week. I was watching just to see if anything happens. Yeah, what happened? Somebody said, well, nothing. Actually, it was really wonderful. I enjoyed the service. I was watching the altar call and the boys' tag team, and it was wonderful just to see all the things that's going on. And so I know that if I ever leave, the church is in good hands. We train people. I see Pastor Dave he could just pastor a church today and do a good job, him and his wife. They're a wonderful couple. They've been able to help us out for many years. And we thank God for sending it. We cried and cried, and God sent us somebody, and the Huskies came, and they're just like a younger version of myself and Miss Anita, but a little bit more talent in some areas, and some areas a little bit more uglier, hairier. They're just a tremendous couple. We love them, and we appreciate what they do. Just leaders are coming in, like Paul and his wife just coming in and joining and making the church stronger. Yes. Amen? Yes. Making the people love God, and I think Robbie's work in the community attracts the community to us, puts us on the map, helps us out. And we appreciate you guys so much that I know you do a lot of work. And different people in the community, Pastor Corey and his wife, she got scared of me yesterday. I was trying to hug her. I actually scared the living lights out of her. But it's wonderful to have good people around all the time. Enjoy the wonderful party yesterday, guys, the e-party. And Sarah, is it? Emma. Emma's party was wonderful, and I reported that on to my wife. It was great. And the twins, come up here, you twins. Where's the other one? Come on up here. Come on up here. This couple, this young family, I had the privilege of knowing their family a little bit years and years ago. Give me the mic. Is there a mic somewhere on here? These guys turning 29 today. No, yeah. So I didn't want to tell the real age. But anyway, they... when I was, God just got born again in the 80s, early 80s, their uncle used to travel in the north on traveling and preaching and stuff. And I got to meet Larry King. And he was a wonderful man of God. And he would show up at my doorstep, sleep on my floor. And wherever I was, Kenora and Thunder Bay, he'd show up. And I'd come home and I'd see that old vehicle, that old Parisian, Pontiac, parking out. And here's Larry sitting there. So he taught me a lot of stuff about trusting God. And he'd just take his old vehicle, travel all over the place. So happy birthday to both of you. I love you very much. Appreciate you. Is there anything you want to say about how much you love me?
Yeah.
Okay. Say something nice.
I love you. I love you. I just so appreciate Bay City Church and Pastor Roma. Oh, don't want to cry. But yeah, I just so appreciate you, Pastor, and just for fighting our family up and just making us feel like like family. And yeah. I love you all. And yeah.
Hey, guys, I got the mic again. No, Pastor, I love you. Absolutely love you. I'm happy my sister's here. She made mention of this that there's a lot of things you do that resemble what my dad did, and I don't really remember my dad too much. Like, I don't remember much of what he did, and I can see why now, but Darla made mention of that, you know, those similarities and your mannerisms and such, and it really touching, like, for her to bring that to light, and it's like, wow. You know, it's amazing what God does, you know, in our lives and the places he puts us. And I really appreciate you, Pastor. I love you. I love Mom, you know, and I'm just awesome. I just love being here. Yeah. I love you guys.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Praise God. Well, we got the mic back. Praise the Lord. Well, it's wonderful. You got your Bibles? Well, turn in your Bibles with me to, I got a lot of scripture, and the guy said I had a lot of scripture for Sunday, Wednesday night, Friday night, but it's hard to just have 10 minutes and share that night, so they gave me 15, they gave each one of us supposed to be 15 minutes each, so Pastor Keith, I think, went about 6 or 7 minutes or something. He said, you can take the rest, so I took some liberty, took some extra minutes. But I enjoyed being there with the guys. It's so delightful to be with brothers who... Okay. So the churches that got together were much more they're charismatic, they believe in tongues, and it was wonderful to have that extra fellowship. I mean, we all believe in Jesus. All the churches that we're fellowshipping with, on once a month we meet as pastors and pray and get together. So I would ask you to continue to pray for us to get together. So at the end of the service, we're going to pray for healing, and for anybody who needs healing, and we're going to anoint some cloth. If you have a cloth or a shirt or a jacket or something, we're going to anoint that. Believe God. If you have any oil, if there's any oil in the house, just go like this. But anyway, we can pray over that and believe God together. So anyway, this is Resurrection Morning, and I titled this message "Is If He Isn't Risen," and that's a question: if He isn't risen. So let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verses 16 to 19 in the New Living Translation. I'm sorry, guys, I better get this over to you. I might use some of this stuff. Let me just give you that there. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 16 to 19. And if there's no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. Because there's been a discussion back then, you know, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, I believe that was the Pharisees, who didn't believe that there's any resurrection. And Paul, being a Pharisee, is also answering a question that many people have at that time, and addressing even today by the Holy Spirit. And he says that if there's no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And that's the crux of the whole answer to Christianity, about Jesus rising from the dead this morning, so to speak, Easter morning, resurrection morning. And if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is useless. And you are still guilty of your sins. In that case, all who have died believing in Christ are lost. So he's questioning that. People who believing that there is a Messiah. You know, some people never heard about Jesus, but they heard something about God sending a Savior somehow, some way. So their faith is in that. God addresses that, and God uses that as their salvation, because not everybody heard about Jesus. I have ancestors who never heard about Jesus, but they heard some idea about a Savior, about someone coming. And God judges people on the basis of their heart, what they trusted and believed. Might not have been accurate. Not everybody has perfect faith, accurate faith about everything. We see in the Bible darkly, we see in a glass darkly. Paul says we see ourselves, our image of ourselves, in a very shaded manner. In revelations like that, we don't have quite all the focus, all right, the right things, but we're in the right area. Amen. And we don't always see straight. In that case, all who have died believing in Christ are lost. And if our hope in Christ is only in this life, we are more to be pitied than anyone else in the world. So our hope in Jesus Christ not only is in this world, Jesus not only helps us right now, but he helps us, he's still our hope after we die. And he's still, you know, not only our hope is not just for here, but for eternity. And that's our hope. And we expect what Jesus taught us in the scriptures and what the prophets said and the apostles said about Jesus and about heaven. We believe that to be true. That's our hope, that one day you will see your loved ones. How many of you believe that? You trust that? That one day you're going to see grandma and grandpa and your son and daughter and so on, right? And your husband. So thank God one day. That's our hope. And I have great hope that I will see my mom and my relatives. So that's what I believe. And that, you know, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 5 and 13 that we don't we don't grieve like the rest of the world. Sunday morning is not like grieving. We're celebrating the resurrection of Jesus. And Good Friday is good because good things happened for us on the cross. Yes. Amen. That's what we want to celebrate on Friday, Good Friday. We wanted to celebrate the fact what happened to Jesus on the cross he did for us. Yeah. Well, I think some of us are getting there, getting happy. Right? My proposition this morning is that if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then our faith is dead. Then our faith, if our faith is dead, then the way we believe is useless. What we believe in. But if he's risen, then our faith is useful, and it's going to be active, and it's going to be helpful, and our faith is alive. Did Jesus really rise from the dead? People would ask. If he never did rise from the dead, what happens if he didn't rise from the dead? And I think Paul answered some of those questions. A little bit for us, we can go into detail. If he didn't rise from the dead, like some said, and if he did rise, what's the significance and what's the difference there? Well, for us, it means everything in the world. We know that Jesus right now, you know, we have faith that what Jesus did, what he said, but how many believe that Jesus right now is sitting at the right hand of the Father as your very high priest? And everything he taught us, when we say from our mouth, he makes good in our lives. He is called the high priest of our confession in Hebrews 3:1. So when we sing songs that are praising him and so forth, what he's done for us, we bring that active in our lives. The Word of God is active and it's alive. When we sing Scripture from our hearts, it becomes a reality in our lives. And that attracts the good things to our lives. That's why it's so important to sing Scripture, songs that are based on the Word of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That first morning in the Matthew chapter 28, verse 1, on Sunday morning, as a new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to visit the tomb. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord had come down from heaven, rolled aside the stone and sat on it. His face shone like lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow. The guards shook with fear when they saw him, and they fell into a dead faint. The angel spoke to the woman. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I know you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead, just as he said that would happen." What Jesus said happened. He said, "I'm going to rise, destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I'll raise it back up again." Glory to God. Amen. He was raised from the dead. You know, I had a real powerful experience when I got filled with the Holy Spirit. I went out into the Spirit, to the Spirit realm. And the world is insignificant when it comes to the very presence of God. You lose all sight of this world and you get into the very joy of His presence. And I was in the presence of God, the very joy of heaven. I went there. And the world disappeared. Now it's hard to explain that to people if you've never experienced that. And if you want to, you can ask God to take you into His presence. The Bible says in His presence is fullness of joy. I experienced that. And when I went into the presence of God, in the presence of Jesus, I was filled with the Holy Spirit. And the first thing the Holy Spirit showed me was the empty tomb. And, you know, when it says that he is risen, and we see pictures of it, and I put a picture of that on my Facebook page this morning, the empty tomb, and the stone rolled away. That's what I saw in my vision. I saw that he is risen. And the first thing, you know, Jesus said when Jesus was here, he said, when the Holy Spirit's come, he's going to show you everything. And the first thing Holy Spirit showed me was that Jesus is alive and Jesus is risen from the dead. I saw that. And Jesus said, the angel said that he, you know, just like he said, he's risen, just like he said. He's risen from the dead. He said, come see quickly, come see where the body was lying, and now go quickly and tell his disciples that he's risen from the dead. And he's going ahead of you. How many people know that wherever you're going, Jesus is going ahead of you? Wherever you need to go, he's going ahead of you to get you where you're supposed to go. And he's planned a good life for every one of us. He didn't plan one disappointment, one hurt day of hurting, one day of lack. And God planned for us total joy. And he said, I've come to give life that you might have it more abundantly. That's John 10:10. But devil, he comes to kill, steal, destroy. Anything that's being stolen from you, anything that's being destroyed in your life, anything that's going to kill in your life or dying in your life, the devil has planned that, but not God. John 10:10 says, Jesus said, I've come that you might have life, that you might enjoy it to the full, Amplified says. Thank God. We can believe that. We can believe the scripture. And I was thinking about, you know, Ephesians 2:10, that God planned a long time ago. The good life, the Amplified says, a good life, a path for us that we should take, and it's called the good life, the Amplified says. And every one of us needs to understand that there is a resurrection for the Maple Leafs. No. Hallelujah. I thought I'd insert that right there because, you know, I'm being so passionate about my preaching, and all of a sudden the leaves come up. You never can tell, but I try to keep it light and comical. So anyway, that's right. I'm sorry. All right. Tell his disciples that he's risen from the dead. He's going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Remember what I've told you. The woman ran quickly from the tomb, and they were very frightened, but also filled with great joy. How many people understand? You can have all kinds of feelings. Scared of an angel, but happy at the same time. And they rushed to give the disciples the angel's message as they went. Jesus met them and greeted them, and they ran to him, grasped his feet, worshipped him. And Jesus said to them, don't be afraid. Go tell my brothers to leave for Galilee, and I will see them there. As the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and told the leading priest what happened. A meeting of the elders was called, and they decided to give the soldiers a large bribe. They told the soldiers, you must say, Jesus' disciples came during the night while we were sleeping, and they stole his body. If the governor hears about it, we'll stand up for you so that you won't get in trouble. So the guards accepted the bribe and said what they were told to say. Their story spread widely among the Jews, and they still tell it today. They still tell it today. That's in the scripture. And so they believe that. They told people, you better not tell people that Jesus has risen from the dead. We know better. Because we've been born again. Amen. You can only know spiritual things when you got the Holy Spirit in you. Amen. The real truth. He is the giver of truth. Jesus said, thy word is truth. John 10:10. John 17:17. Thy word is truth. His word is true. And we know better because Jesus said the Holy Spirit will tell us all truth. He'll tell us the things to come. When they saw him, verses 17 and 19. Verse 28 there. When they saw him, they worshipped him. But some of them doubted. How many people know you got to continue to fight against doubt? No matter how much you read the Bible, no matter how many times you go to church, no matter how many times you listen to preaching and pray, you still have to fight doubt. Doubt will come to all of us. Not just about the resurrection, but everything else about what's good for you. So this resurrection morning, whatever dream that has died or laid dormant in your life, if you've given up on a dream, pick it back up, praise God. Believe God. that the good is coming to you. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 says, let me remind you, dear brothers and sisters, of the good news I preached to you before. You welcomed it. Then you still stand firm in it. It is the good news that saves you. If you continue to believe the message I told you, unless of the course you believe something that was never true in the first place, I pass it on to you. That was the most important that was passed on to me. Christ died for our sins. Just as the scripture said, he was buried and was raised from the dead on the third day. Just as the scripture said, he was seen by Peter. I see Peter here this morning, Peter Vidala. The Bible says he saw Jesus too. Amen. But he was seen by Peter. Peter wrote a book called My Name is Peter. Amen. He wrote a book. He put his name on it. He said, Peter, First Peter. I'm going to write a second book. I call it Second Peter. So I'm going to call the second book Second Roma. And then by the 12th, after that, he was seen by more than 500 of his followers at one time. Most of them were still alive, though some have died. Then he was seen of James, later by all the apostles. Last of all, as though I had been born at the wrong time, I saw him. Paul said, I saw Jesus. For I'm least of all the apostles. In fact, I'm not even worthy to be called an apostle after the way I persecuted God's church. How many times we think we failed? After we've been born again, some of us made terrible mistakes. And the devil said, God doesn't want you anymore. He's finished with you. You cannot be a preacher. You cannot do whatever, anything anymore. Whatever it is. The devil wants to make you doubt everything God says about what he said. But there's hope for you today. Amen. Amen. It's resurrection morning. Let's resurrect our dreams, our visions that God has given to us. Some of you, as a small child, had a dream in your heart. As you lay on your bed at night, as you thought about it, there's a dream in there. Why don't you resurrect that dream? Pick it back up and believe. I know there's probably a lot of people here that have a dream in their heart. You need to pick it back up and believe God. Amen. You know, God will give you something good. So, he said, I'm not worthy to be called an apostle after all the way I persecuted the church. But that's the way he felt. We feel that way sometimes. But whatever I am now, it's all because God poured out his special favor on me, or his grace. And he poured out his special favor on me, and not without results. For I worked harder than all the other apostles. Yet it was not I, but God who was working through me by his grace. So it makes no difference whether I preach or they preach. For all preach the same message to you that I already believe, But tell me this. Since we preach Christ rose from the dead, why are some of you saying there'll be no resurrection from the dead? If there's no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, then all of our preaching is useless, and your faith is useless. So, everything is about faith. This life that we live as Christians is all about believing God, believing his scriptures, believing his word. Somebody told Pastor Ken the other day, you actually believe all the Bible? And this is a Bible church. Amen. Not a bunny rabbit church. You know, if I would have known that play was coming on, I would have shut it down. See what happens with that? Put the youth pastor in charge? Some areas? Bunny rabbits, my Lord. Call the cops. What's going on here? So, our faith is significant. God gave each one of us the measure of faith. Amen. Romans 12:3 says, each one of you has the measure of faith. God's given us an equal portion. God is not unjust. He doesn't say, well, I'm going to give you more than her. No, God gives each one of us an equal portion to believe whatever his Bible says to believe. Whether it's healing or growing in the Lord, whatever it is, God's given us the equal ability to believe him to be whatever we need to be. Thank God for that. Is the Holy Ghost still here, or did he go home? He's still here. If he didn't rise, then Jesus lied, as we mentioned. Then all the prophecies about Jesus is not true. And what the apostles said are not true. That all these guys that we mentioned, that Paul talked about, that saw Jesus and so on. You know, I've read something somewhere recently that people who've died, this physician who studied, people who die, determined there's too much evidence that people who died report the same thing. That they saw the same thing. They felt the same things. There is an afterlife. You know, I remember talking to different ones. Today, I know better because I talk to people like, you know, one of our teachers from Bible school, Keith Moore, he asked his dad to come up and fly with him because he's a pilot. He has a plane and he flies. And so he asked his dad, kept asking his dad, "Come on, Dad, fly with me. Come and fly with me. I'll take you and we'll go for over the air and stuff." But his dad wouldn't do it. Finally, his dad got the courage, said, "I'm going to go fly with you." So he got on the plane, I guess somehow, and while they were flying, he died up there. His dad had a heart attack in the air. So his dad died. Come down, and then he, of course, he lost his father. Then for a long time, he grieved. He felt so bad that he convinced his dad to fly with him, and his dad died in the air, in his plane, that he convinced his dad to come to fly. So one day, he was grieving so much that how many people understand that if you're grieving and you're called to the ministry, you can't do what you're supposed to do if you're grieving so much? How many people understand that when you grieve so much, you can't be what God wants you to be? You can't do what God wants you to do because all your energy is trying to fight the grief, and God wants to heal your grief this morning. And so the Lord cared for him. And one day he said the Lord took him, Keith Moore, took him to heaven. And he said, "I saw my dad." My dad was about 30 years old, and he didn't have the gray hair anymore and the wrinkles. He looked younger than what I looked like. And I knew it was my dad. And he said, "Keith, please don't feel bad that I died. I like it here. It's better here." And he walked and talked in heaven. He said it looked like looked like a mall. So all you guys, there's a mall there. He said, I saw different ones there, and they talked to me and so on. But so you have family in heaven. And they're happy. Because there's a resurrection. And our spirit is alive. Our spirits will never die. You got a daddy in heaven. Because he believed in Jesus. Amen. You got a mama in heaven. I know your mama. I know your dad. They're in heaven. They're in a better place. Your dad's there. Your uncle is there. They believed in Jesus. That Bible says that one day when Jesus comes back, he's going to bring them all back with him. Your grandpa's there. Amen. Your son, your daughter. What? You don't have a daughter yet. It's gone. But, but you know what? He come back. He said, you know what? I come back. He said, I try to look for the grief. I try to find it, but it wasn't there anymore. I try to think about if I can grieve again. It was completely gone. Nothing, no more. He was healed from it, completely healed from it. So there is a life. My mom told me when she died, the first time my mother died, she said, I'm going up to heaven. And she went up to heaven and she heard all the angelic choir singing. And she told me, I was just young when my mom told me this at first. She said, when I was in heaven, the Lord told me, you have to go back. And the Lord talked to, my mom talked to the Lord about having a preacher. And that was me. And so the Lord talked to her, you got to go back. And she said, I didn't want to come back. You know, people who die, they don't want to come back here. If they had a choice, they wouldn't come back. That's why when someone is dying in a hospital bed and you're coming there, you're trying to pray for them, they see heaven. And you're trying to pray for them to come back, they see heaven. They don't want to come back. They felt, if you felt what heaven feels like, you wouldn't come back. I've been there. I've seen it. And it's wonderful to be in the presence of God. But when you're having all the pain and all the stuff in the world, it clouds everything up. It clouds that sense of realization that there is a heaven and that there is the presence of God, there's fullness of joy. Today, let us remember that there is a resurrection. That this is not, our only hope is not having God and Jesus here, but when we die. Let's go ahead and stand up together. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Anybody happy that there's a resurrection? Anybody can say praise God that there's a resurrection? Woo! Woo! Glory to God. Let's lift our hands in unison and praise Him and thank Him. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord God. Thank you for the resurrection. Thank you for new life, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, we bless you, Lord. We thank you for thy word is true. Thank you for the blessedness of your word. Holy Spirit, come, Holy Spirit. Help those today that need your help. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I want to pray for someone who has been diagnosed with cancer. Their report is not good. And I don't care what the doctor says. Amen. I don't care what the report says. If we had to pray in terms of what the doctor said, we wouldn't pray. Amen. We're not praying what the doctor said. We're praying about what thus says the Lord. Yes. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Where's that Joyce? Joyce, where are you? Why is she there? We sent a cloth to her dying brother, last stages of cancer. She just joined our church. I was there last year, the year before. I was preaching at another church, and she was there when I was preaching. She said, I want to see that preacher again. And she didn't know where I was preaching. I didn't know what church I was from or what my name was. She said, I'd like to hear that preacher again. So I believe as we moved here or somewhere, but she caught us. She said, I finally discovered where that guy is. I'm going to go there. So she got back and she came to this church because somehow our hearts got knitted together at that service. She loves that Faith City Church. And her husband or her brother was dying, last stages of cancer. Last stages of cancer where the doctor said there's no hope. So she brought that over. Her faith did it. What she believed did it. And you know, your faith can be hindered by what you do. I thank God that people put faith in me and I can carry them and believe God with them. because I'm trusting God. I'm not trusting myself. I'm trusting the Word works. Praise God. Amen. Everybody say the Word works. Come on, say the Word works. I'm telling you, it works. It works. So she comes over, tells one of the pastors, you know, this, my brother here, we're going to pray for this. So we prayed over the cloth. We laid hands on it by faith. Now, we didn't feel any special power. We didn't feel anything special. We just laid hands on it because the Word of God says. You see, you have to act on the Word no matter what it says, no matter how you feel. So we just, on the basis on Acts 19, 11 and 12, God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul so that from his body were brought into them handkerchiefs and aprons and diseases departed from them. Evil spirits went out of them. That's what we're going to believe. How many are you going to believe? All you need is two. All I need is two people. Amen? But there's more than two people. Psalm 118, verse 17. I shall not die, but I shall live and declare the works of the Lord. Glory to God. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, stretch your hand towards this cloth. Father, in the name of Jesus, we lift this cloth to you. We ask for mercy. Whenever those people in the Bible saw Jesus and said, have mercy on the Son of God. Your mercy and compassion is forever. It's new every morning. So we don't care what the doctor said. We don't care what the cancer is saying. We don't care how much pain is there. We're trusting you for a miracle right now. We're trusting that the power of God is going into this cloth right now. In the name of Jesus, miracle of God, anointing. Go into this cloth and cast out sickness and disease and death in the name of Jesus out of that body right now. We believe as it's put on that body, evil spirits and disease will and shall depart. We trust you for that in the name of Jesus. Everybody lift your hand and start thanking God right now because it's done. In the name of Jesus, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. If there's somebody here that needs healing in their body, or let's just say this, if you never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you've never come to God, if you've never had the opportunity to come publicly to confess Jesus Christ, you can come right now and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Who is that person? You come right now. If you've never done that, you come right now. Jesus will save you right now. If that's you. Anybody like that in here? Thank you, Lord. If you've been away from God and you need to get right with God today, you can say, well, I could do it in my chair. It's easy. No, you need to do that publicly. It's easy to do it alone. When you're convinced and you're committed, you'll do it publicly. You don't care what people say. It's not about what people think. They're not going to think about you all day long after anyway. No one's going to think about that. Oh, he went up to the front. No, you need to get up here right now. If that's you, you need to get up here right now. If you need to come to Jesus Christ, you've been away from God. Get up here right now. Come on. One, two. Anybody else? You've been away from God. You've been gambling. You've been doing drugs. You've been smoking. You've been sleeping around. Whatever it is. Whatever it is you're doing. Just not reading your Bible perhaps. Maybe not ever going to church. Maybe that's just you. Just get up here right now. I'm going to give you some chances. Anybody else besides these two people? Anybody else? Just say, come on. Tell your neighbor. Ask your neighbor. You need to get up there. I'll come up with you. We don't know. Thank you, Lord. And if there's anybody here that needs to be filled with the Spirit, thank you, ma'am. Anybody else that needs to be filled with the Holy Ghost, stand right over here. Anybody here that needs to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you have never spoken in tongues before, and you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you come right now, you'll be filled with the Holy Spirit. Come on up. Thank you. Anybody else, you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you've never spoken in tongues, you want to be filled with the Spirit of God, you come right now. We're going to get you filled with the Holy Spirit. Come right now. Anybody else? I want to be filled. If you say, I want to be filled with the Holy Ghost, I want to know that. I want to know God more intimately by the Spirit of God. Anybody like that? I want the presence of God more freely than I ever had before. You come right now. Thank you, Lord. I wonder if we could get some of the music team up here more. If you got the music team, come up. I need your help. Singers, songwriters, guitar players. A third thing I want to ask you, if there's somebody here that you've been struggling with physical problems, mental problems, you come right now. I'm going to pray for that as well. Physical problems, physical pain in your body, addictions, whatever it is, you come right now. I'm going to pray for you right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Woo, I can just sense that anointing right now. Praise God. I can just sense that anointing. Come on, come on. Come on, if that's you, follow this guy's advice here. Stand right here, face me. Okay, thank you. The spot comes right up there. You'll come right down here. Anybody else? Thank you, Lord. Stretch your hand towards these folks. In the name of Jesus, say, Dear Lord. Say, Dear Lord, I thank you for salvation. Thank you for resurrection morning. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior of my life. He's my deliverer, my healer, and my joy. Thank you that I can be forgiven today and come to you. And thank you, Lord, that I can be filled with the Holy Spirit. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe that you've given us the Spirit to empower us to know you more. And today, I receive Holy Spirit. I receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking with other tongues. And I believe I'll be filled. When Pastor lays his hands on me, I believe I'll be filled with the Spirit of God. And I believe that healing is mine. I believe I'm healed right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for my healing. I'm healed right now. I'm just as much healed as I am saved right now. I'm just as much filled with the Spirit as I'm saved right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to lay hands on these. Come from this side in Jesus' name. Ma'am, be filled with the Holy Ghost right now. In the name of Jesus, be healed. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Be grief, go away.
Yes.
Grieving, go away in the name of Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, young man. In the name of Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Come on, everybody, pray in the Holy Ghost. Thank you in the name of Jesus. Thank you. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Louder. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Oh, come on, louder. In the name of Jesus. Father, be filled. Oh, hallelujah. Come on. Say, thank God